Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Holleran, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, I am very pleased to say that Dale Spencer Weeks will be joining us. He is a psychic numerologist. But before we get started, I would love to introduce my lovely co-host and see how they're doing. Well, hello there, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well, Maureen. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, it's always something, but I'm glad you asked. Thank you. I'm fantastic.
Good.
And it's nice to hear your voice and full of life. I'm happy to feel that. And how, you know, Steve, can you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and who you think you are?
Who I think I am.
Who do you think you are?
I'm part of the Psychic Access team, so I give readings at PsychicAccess.com, and I am a psychic medium, but also an astrologer, hermetic astrologer. So I use the mediumship for connecting with spirits and channeling from spirits, and the hermetic astrology where I can to help people understand themselves, their path in the world, and also looking at events that will likely occur in the future.
Very well stated. I appreciate that. And Steve is a fine, fine individual to the profession that we do. I appreciate that. And Carmen, hello. How are you doing?
Hello. Good evening. Hi. Yes. Thanks for having me.
We're going to have you for dinner.
I know.
Okay. No, Carmen, we're not going to do that because you know what? We like Canadians. It's nice to have you with us on the show, and welcome again, and just a warm welcome joining us. Also, will you do tell everybody what you do in your work?
Yeah, because you're just getting to know me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm actually, just like you, classically trained tarot reader. I work a lot with symbols, but my main speciality is to work with telepathy, empathy, and social behavior. And what I try and do is, from taking my clients' problems, I'm able to mediate between different parties based on their present viewpoints. That can be quite confusing, but it is moment to moment the type of work I do. And I do probably medium-term predictions. So
I like that. Very nice. Very
I mean, everybody has a little chance to work it out in the long term. Not everything is set in stone. Not the way I work.
No, not stone just hits me in the head. But
no, my viewpoint, I want it to be a different way. And even if I could see further off, I'll try not to.
Yeah, that's
take it one day at a time.
That's in the now. And Stephen, hello, Stephen. What up with you?
Hey, Maureen. So happy to be here with you tonight.
I'm
excited
so happy
about your show.
And I'm excited that you're excited, and I'm excited that you're here. I like to, you know, everybody, I like to tease Stephen. You know I adore you, Stephen. But I just
adore
have a thing.
You
okay, can you please
I adore
tell us?
Being teased.
I know you adore it. So would you tell us more about your adoring work?
Absolutely. One thing I'll adore the most is metaphysics and esoteric subjects such as the tarot and astrology. And I am a hermetic astrologer, much like my friend and colleague Steve over at Psychic Access. And I specialize in relationships, career, spiritual development. And I fancy myself a troubleshooter of people's problems. And I enjoy what I do with all of you lovely people over at PsychicAccess.com.
That's lovely. Maybe you can troubleshoot some of my computer problems. No, I'm joking.
I'd be happy. Anything for you, Maureen.
Well, everybody knows what I do and what I am, and so there we have it. So I'm over at PsychicAccess.com as well. So tonight, Dale Spencer Weeks is a psychic numerologist. He understands that number vibrations, which is a very, that's the objective word, are eternal and spiritual nature, and they allow him to see with clarity the total, you know, Stephen, this is your word, totality, I think I've heard you say that word, of one's life. Yes, you have. This includes the past, present, and future issues involving health and career, and guides, and much more. We're going to have a lot of great chat tonight about an interview about that. Hi, Dale. Are you there? Hello.
Hello, 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 Maureen and everyone else there. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's, you know, Dale, it's been almost exactly 2 years since
I think so.
And I'm so happy to hear your voice. I knew it. I wasn't joking. I was real excited. I love your energy, and I think your work is fantastic. There are a lot of people, you know, we all do our things, but you're a fantastic numerologist and even beyond that. But, in fact, why don't we get started about, can you tell us a little bit, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? How did you come to be?
Since we last spoke, actually, can I say hello to everyone else there?
Absolutely. Yes.
Is there Steve?
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening. Welcome back, Dale.
Ah, good to hear from you. Great, great. Well, you know, I've like all of us, since we last spoke, I've grown tremendously. And I sort of now don't so much use the word psychic. It's more intuitive, spiritual numerologist. But I, you know, when I was 16 years old, I walked into a house and my mother was sitting at a table, and I went by her and noticed she had this red book on the table, and I asked her what it was, and she said that my brother had given it to her, and it was a book on numerology. And I went into the kitchen. I remember I got a cup of milk and some cookies, and on my way back out, I grabbed the book, went up stairs into my bedroom, and have been in there ever since, so to speak. The numerology just took a hold of me, but I sort of have always been in touch or able to express myself spiritually. I actually, not many people know, but I actually, I was brought up in the church, and I actually went to school to be a minister, and came back sort of full circle, but I've always sort of been enamored and attracted to astrology and just other things. Naturally, I would do things in my home. So as a kid, lighting candles, burning incense, creating peace around me. There was a period when I was a child where I was wearing all types of Egyptian jewelry, and it just grew. And at this point now, I own my own business for 10 years, and I closed that business in 2010. And I'm a big believer in asking and you receive. I asked the universe. I sat on the edge of my bed. I use the term universe or God, or I like to say absolute spirit, actually. But I asked the absolute spirit, I said, I need to know what to do now. Yes to finding my path. I had slept for 4 months after owning a business for 10 years and 35 employees, and then realized I was going through my funds and I needed to do something. And lo and behold, that was on a Sunday. I asked God, I said, I need to know. And on Thursday, I got my answer. I bumped into someone who I didn't even recognize her, actually. I actually did dabbled in numerology readings for friends, and I used to place it on a cassette tape, and she remembered me, and she said, am I still doing it? And I said, actually, I'm not, just for myself, and will you please do a reading for me? And called a buddy of mine, a tech guy, and said, well, how would I do it today? No one's using cassette tapes. She said, why don't you place it on a CD? And one thing led to the other. I gave it to her. She loved it. I gave it to her for free, just out of the heart, and then she turned another friend on. And then 2 weeks into that, she had some friends coming in from Florida, very spiritual people. They were in a convention, six of them, and she said, can you do six readings in 2 days? And I did it, and the rest is history. And since then, since we last spoke, I have, and I always say, like all of us, I've grown spiritually. Numerology has taken me into so many other avenues, into clairvoyancy. I actually help people with dealing with entities around them. I'm able to see and hear spiritually. It's more like a guide. I'm able to see past lives, which again, there's some wonderful people out there that are past life practitioners or are professional in that respect. I just have ability to see literally what I call the vibration, which is segue into numerology, jumping into the soul's vibration. It's almost like jumping into a stream. I could jump in and I sort of am able to see past lives, things that are going to occur now and in the future or may occur. And from my perspective, what I do, the most important thing about seeing a past life is not so much the life itself, which can be very interesting. You know, I could tell you that you were the Queen of England. And you could say, okay, Dale, that sounds kind of nice. Okay, I was the Queen of England, but what does that mean? And for me, what I find important and what has developed is what's important about that past life is what does it mean to you now in this incarnation? How does it speak in terms of idiosyncrasies, talents, gifts, health issues that may occur or keep occurring, deja vu feelings, blessings? Usually, not I shouldn't say usually, all the time, when I see a past life, there is always a direct correlation to who the person is now. But that's just a small segment, because when you jump into what I call the vibes, which is numerology, and as everything else, numerology walks hand in hand with astrology and runes and anything else, because we are here, and there are many ways to get to New York City, and there are many ways to get in touch with oneself or to understand the universe. So I sort of have spread myself in that way, and my wings have sort of opened up, and a lot of name changes and modifications I've been going through, and a lot of spiritual. The spirituality of numbers is something I'm just started to write, Maureen, a book, an audio. You know, I do everything, great. A lot of things audio.
Yes,
I do. You know, but I there is actually spirituality in numbers, and I try to remind people numbers are just. From my point of view, they just represent vibrations. They just represent feelings. It's not the number itself. It's just like our name. My name is Dale. Your name is Maureen. That name, Maureen, represents you here on this plane, on this planet. But you are not Maureen, yet your soul expresses yourself through the name, the vibration of Maureen, like the sun in the sky. It's right. An entity. It's here. But so I use numbers, or I try to explain number vibrations in the sense that they just represent feelings, and I use the term feelings because most of us use numerology each and every day, and we don't necessarily realize it.
We don't even pay attention to it, or we're not self-aware. I'm sorry, go on.
No, yeah. You go. I'm sorry.
No, I feel that, no, I want you to remember what you're going to say, because I feel it's really important that we don't pay attention, and we need to be more mindful and self-aware of what numbers, you know, listening to your story reminds me, and I'm sure that my other co-hosts would agree, it's like our journey that we take, and like the synchronicity of this woman and connection and the other people coming, look at, you know, you're doing the work you must do. This is what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
You know, you didn't know, but it is what it is. And so it's not just about the numerology, it's that you connected with that science, and that's like with me it was tarot, but it goes beyond the tarot. It's like, you know, how you were saying it's now gone beyond the but the numerology part, even in tarot, the number in tarot,
everything.
I get a vibration from that just by that number. Maybe I feel it, or because
well, I'm an expert, you know. I'm an expert, Maureen, and you're an expert, and Steve is an expert. And what are we experts at? Believe it or not, living. We are here. I love to say, you know, I have the free vibe of the day.com, which is the daily 5-minute message that at least 4 or 5 days out of the week, I say, hello, 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 welcome to free vibe of the day.com. Another day upon the planet. We are here on the planet. And from my perspective, we are spiritual beings housed in this flesh. So our soul, we express our soul through our name on this planet, on this particular plane. And so because we are here, and I love to say here because we are here, we are experts in life, even though we make mistakes. But I always tell people, I know a lot. And what I do know is that I breathe. And I do know that I love. And I do know that I am here. And it's not a dream. And that there are laws to the universe that I'm not an expert in what all the laws are, but as a human being, I am an expert in what I feel. And so many of us, what we call intuition, it's vibrations, but, we do know a lot of things. People like women people who name their babies. I use the term, I use numerology, I express that you're actually using numerology, you don't know it. You know, I want to name my child Mary, And maybe you're with your husband or your wife. And, no, I don't like that name. That doesn't feel right. Well, how about Julie? No, that doesn't feel right. How about, Marianne? That doesn't feel right. And then when you get a name that feels right, that's your spirit. That's the vibration.
Your intuitive. You're right. The intuitiveness of it all.
That's human. That's what I mean by being an expert or using or bracing. Our lives are not numerology. Our lives are not, from my perspective, astrology. They're not that, but we express and everything vibrates. And I love to say that in a way, whether it's an animate or inanimate object, alive or dead, which I think is basically the same thing, subconsciously and consciously, we hear things. Man, collectively, we call a rock. Why? Because it vibrates to that name. It just vibrates to that name. Maybe in a different language, it might be different, a different culture. But and then many cultures, the names are very similar. But we call a tree a tree. We call a car a car. Now, you know, it's kind of basic. But when you really think about it, we don't call a car a tree. We don't call a rock a pencil. Because in a way, these things are not alive.
Right.
But there's because they're here, there is some kind of frequency about it because it's here in this plane. That's vibrations.
That's very interesting because it's almost like a pebble. It's not a rock, but a pebble has a different vibration. Pebble.
It does have a different vibration because it's different.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about the name real quick because you said something about, you know, when you're having a kid, and I remember when I had – lost my first one, she was like 6 months long, but whatever. It was Madeline Rose. Everybody thought it was a joke, but Mariah is the only daughter I have. She came later, and she's the only one, of course. But I named her Mariah, M-E-R. I was very particular about not, I named her after Mariah Carey, M-E-R. It just really felt right, and no one else because of Mer. And I don't know why. But I know why. I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. I just knew that was the right way for it. And so it was something like that when you're talking about, is that what you're talking about? Like in
that's the vibration. I believe a lot. I know. I'm going to have the audacity to say I know. But I know most of the time, maybe not all the time, because rules are what are rules. But I know for the most part that the soul chooses its name. It expressed the soul chooses name because of its presence. So when the baby's in the womb, sometimes even before the baby is the womb, you know, before the baby's actually in the mother's womb, the spirit of the soul will fly or hover around people until it's ready to come in. But in most cases, but I can't say all, most cases the soul knows its name and it will, you know, just by its presence you can feel it. And a lot of times people. You know, obviously people change their names. That's we might get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
But even their mistakes made at times. Names, very interesting. Oprah Winfrey. Wonderful example. She was actually born Oprah Winfrey. They misspelled her name.
Oh.
But the vibration of her soul is not an Orpah. It's an Oprah.
Wow.
And many times that I have so many people that I've met who say, well, you know, when I was born, my name was spelled this way and they made a mistake here and there. That's the vibration of the soul in many cases, not all the time, but the soul expressing itself saying, hey, this is who I am. And we feel it and we hear it. And you can go into a room and feel positive energy or negative energy. That's vibrations. So when it gets intimate with a mother and a child, and you know, there's nothing closer than a mother and a child, maybe a father and a child, but a mother and a child, mothers, you know, when they love their children, even before they're born, that's a God connection. And so, you know, now sometimes they might force a name on a soul also. That's possible. But I believe that a lot of the time, more than not, the soul chooses itself and the soul is where I always go first when I do quote unquote what I call readings, or when I sit with people and they want to know about things, or they want to see what I know and if it fits. It's always the soul usually that I go to first, because that's the real person, and that's usually in terms of numerology the inner self, or it's called the inner urge, or I just say it's the person without the body. It's who they are.
I want to ask you, Dale, because you go by Dale Spencer Weeks. Is there a reason why have you always gone by that, or did you decide to do that for a particular reason?
You know, I have a wonderful mother. who's 89 years old, and she still drives in Florida, and she still walks
lovely.
As fast. It's lovely. And I had a conversation with her last week, the very first time ever. I couldn't believe. She said that she had a habit of naming Townford, naming a lot of my cousins and such, but she said that my relatives wanted to name me something else, and she said it didn't feel right. And I was just listening. She said, and you know, when I first came up with Dale Weeks, and I said, that's not enough. Has to be something. I'm listening in fascination because she's actually speaking as a numerologist. She said, you know, and I really felt Dale Spencer Weeks was you. That's who you were. It was strong. Dale Weeks was too weak. But Dale Spencer Weeks seemed strong, and that's what I wanted. She mentioned that for my sisters and so forth. There was a period in my life when I was a kid where I went by Dale Weeks. And then when I came to New York City and I got involved in theater and television and film, I went by Dale Spencer. And as I've grown older, I just realized Dale Spencer Weeks is how I want to express myself. But, you know, it's interesting because with names and name modifications, oh, my God. So I would say, you know, now this is purely something I make up, but I would say at least 60-70% of your Hollywood stars and musicians have changed their name, and it's probably higher. They've changed their names because the name that they were given may not express who they are now or want to portray to the world. As a matter of fact, I was just looking. I said, well, I'm going to speak with Maureen today. So I should pick somebody who's been in the news for the last. I wonder if someone that's been in the news a lot has changed their names. And lo and behold, Miley Cyrus. She was born Destiny Cyrus.
Really?
But when she changed her name to Miley Cyrus, the full vibration of it vibrates to a six energy, which real basic. I mean, this is real, but six is the vibration of love, and out of love we sing, we dance, we heal, we help, we're psychiatry, and so many other things, artistic. But that six energy suddenly, from what she was originally as her soul, as she came in, suddenly helped her to be that singer. And I mentioned Dionne Warwick, which was so interesting because her first album, they misspelled her name. And it was actually
Dionne Warwick is what we're talking
about?
Yeah,
her first album, she was born Dionne Warwick.
Oh.
And her very, very first album, what was it? I actually wrote that down and I can't see here, but her very first album, they made a mistake, the spelling, and they wrote Warwick. And that song became a number one hit. And she went with Warwick because it vibrates to a six energy and other things that put her in the limelight, the name itself. And, you know, and it is the name, and particularly in entertainment. But, you know, we express ourselves through our name, even religiously. You know, I'm you know, wherever your beliefs lie. But, you know, I was brought up in the church, so I can speak somewhat of the Bible.
Catholic. You were in the Catholic church like
no,
I was.
No,
right?
I was actually what we call Pentecostal, where
okay.
they speak in tongues and there's a lot of clapping.
Yes.
And, you know, that kind of thing. And but even in the Bible, you know, for those who are either Catholic or religious, Abram became Abraham. God changed the name of Abram. And Abram means, if I'm not mistaken, it was the father of, no, it means exalted father. But Abraham means father of many. His soul needed to express more. Jacob became Israel. Saul became Paul. Simon became Peter. There are reasons, not just because names mean something different, but even within the meaning of that name, it does mean something. The soul needs to express itself more. And I can go down to, oh my God, Bruce Willis changed his name. He was Walter Willis. Vin Diesel changed his name. He was Mark Vinson. You know, Marilyn Monroe, that's a famous one.
Yeah.
Norma Jean.
Yeah.
And oh, here's the last I'll mention, Karen Johnson. Do we know who Karen Johnson is? You should know.
I do.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg, that's right.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. Now, again, the reason I mention this, you know, the name change, again, it really gets to the core, vibrations, feeling. Whoopi Goldberg just sounds different, sounds fun. Karen Johnson is good, it's great. But Whoopi Goldberg,
Whoopi
Goldberg. So in numerology, in terms of vibrations, you know, it can make a difference. Now, you could have a horrible name and still be wonderful in what you do and famous or not famous, whatever, because the soul still transcends anything, from my perspective,
right.
anything. But
well, you know, speaking of Marilyn Monroe, I'll tell you something. Perhaps maybe she would have kept it Norma Jean. She was such a lovely soul, and so much, you know, we all know the story about, I mean, where I'm standing, I feel it breaks my heart about her.
And you know, a name doesn't necessarily, in most cases, it doesn't change who you are. You are who you are. But
right.
It can help sometimes if you choose a name that you can aspire to. But, you know, again,
people,
this is just basic
you,
thinking. You could choose a name that could not be good for you because you can't be that person.
Right.
I always love using that example of being a casting director and you only have 1 hour left and two people call you in as a director, say, listen, you got to see my person. You got to see my person. And you haven't found who you need. It's a big multimillion dollar film, blah, blah, blah. And the key here is that you need somebody sexy and erotic and just out there. And you have all these people calling you and two people call and one person says, you have to see my person. And her name is Zsa Zsa Flamont. And the other person is Mildred, I don't know, Bartholomew. Matter of fact, let's reduce it. You only could choose one. Now, your character for the film is flamboyant, out there, gregarious, extroverted, and sexy, and all that. Generally,
yeah.
Most people would choose Zsa Zsa Flamont. Generally.
Yeah.
Because that's a name that...
Yeah, of course.
You know, and that's vibration.
Well, yeah, Zsa Zsa and Mildred.
Zsa Zsa. Zsa
Zsa.
That reminds me, I was in the airport. The funniest thing, it's one of the funniest, literally one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Literally. And I've been on the planet a few years. I was in the airport last year. Make a long story short, I just went through security. And there's this little girl, and this is named, a little girl. She was 6 years old. Actually, how do I know she was six? She looked like she was six. She had a beautiful white dress. And it came out like a honeycomb. She had this incredible red hair, and she was with her mother, and I mean red. I've never seen such redness in it, and a little girl, and she was beautiful, and suddenly she bolted away from her mother, and she was running away from her mother. She was running down the aisle, down the hallway, and she kept looking back, smiling with this laugh, and the mother was calling out her name to stop, and whenever she called the name, people stopped, and the name was Jezebel. And she said, Jezebel, stop. Where are you going? Jezebel. And you could look, and people in the hallway knew that this girl was Jezebel. She was a Jezebel. She had the energy of a little Jezebel and the smile on her face. And she was just so having so much fun that she was running away from her mother. And her mother had to chase her. And she had this laugh. And I just looked at that and said, now that's vibration. Said, I don't know
that's
where she's going to be 20 years
them.
From now, but every you know, even people looked and they saw the Jezebel and looked at the girl and people started laughing and but I knew what they were laughing at, the vibration of it.
Yeah, and the mother probably was having a great time just saying the name Jezebel too.
Oh, it was swear it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. It should have been if you would have seen the look on her face, she was just in heaven running away with a smile and this little laugh. And she looked like a little Jezebel, whatever that means to us.
I get what you're saying, but also for the mother, that would be a win-win because she probably enjoyed saying, now Jezebel, you know, that kind of that energy, that vibration, the vibration.
Energy. Now, of course, you know, doesn't mean that everybody lives up to that name. Her soul could be very different, but I usually we, you know, the movie, Star Wars, the Force. You can do what you will with the energy. I believe that there's one energy, one source, which is I'll call the God energy. I don't even believe in evil in the sense that a devil or and this is still vibration. I'm not saying there isn't a concept of evil, but if one believes in as God being omnipotent, and that means all powerful actually. Which is the one energy, the number one vibration, which maybe we'll talk about in a second. But all powerful means just that. All powerful doesn't mean more powerful than something else or greater than something else. It means there can be no other power. All powerful is just that. Absolutely encompasses every nook and cranny in the universe. And my point is that you can have a name that is bright and sunny, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll live up to that energy or be that energy. You could take the other side. Because, you know, when there's a left, there's a right. There's a yin, there's a yang, and everything in between. So two people can have the same name and be completely different in many respects.
There's a Jekyll.
Yeah, but there is still that, from my perspective.
You know, Dale, what about people that are forced? Well, like some people that did not do this or as adults by choice to do their name and they weren't comfortable, but you're bringing up something like, real quick, I just want to ask you about this. Maybe finding like, well, Norma Jean or whoever. And they used to do a lot more, as we all know, in the 30s, 40s, 20s, 30s, and 40s, of course. Everybody his name was different then, in celebrity-wise on the movies. But if they weren't allowed to make it their own choice and they were just told, this is who you are now, that could really have complications, though, also,
well,
yes?
You know, it can, and that's, again, it can. But, again, I it's interesting, Maureen, I'm many things. I'm an intuitive spiritual numerologist, but I also know the spirit of the soul transcends everything. Transcends other than God's energy, and maybe it is God's energy in a way, but whatever your name is, you can transcend the energy of that name if the strong, if the soul is strong enough or your
exactly.
will is intense enough. That's what I believe.
I understand what you're saying, and also having the ability to see the authentic loveliness in it, and I know I understand that. I like that.
Yeah,
I love talking to you. Everybody's like, yeah, we're talking to you. You're just, I mean, your energy's fantastic, and you're so passionate, and they're authentic, and so.
Well,
let's
I'm
go.
An expert like you, and like everyone else who's listening. I always say that we're experts in a way, even the things we don't know. We're human. That's what I mean by we're souls. We're alive, and so. Again, I didn't mean to cut you off, really, but
no,
just in terms of
numerology interview.
And all that, it's I don't live by numerology. That's what's interesting. I don't get up, you know, I do the free vibe of the day.com. I guess this is a good way to plug it. You know, I do the 5-minute message every single day about the vibe of the day, but there are days that I forget what the vibe is. But I talk about the vibe, the energy of the day. Today, as a matter of fact, the vibe for today is a the frequency vibration, that energy which you and I are walking through, just like we walk through telephone waves, sound waves, the vibration of the sun and the moon and phone waves and everything else. The vibration today is a 20. Now, it's really a 2. We always try to reduce vibrations to a single digit. But by reducing to a single digit, I could just say, yes, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, this is what it is, blah, 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 blah. But there is a little bit of nuance between a 20 and just a plain 2 energy. And a 20, whenever you have a God energy, which is the zero, what I call it, I call the zero energy the God energy. When you have that next to a vibration, it suddenly enhances or raises the vibratory force. It can make it very important. Like today is a wonderful day to have this kind of conversation. It's a wonderful day to spend time reflecting. It's a wonderful day for many people who have to make a lot of decisions today. Now, we're always making decisions, but many people have found that there have been important decisions. A wonderful day for detail and reading between the lines with contracts. A wonderful day to spend time in taking care of very deep personal needs. A wonderful day to meditate. A wonderful day to get on the radio and speak about what we're speaking. Now, it could have happened yesterday. It could happen tomorrow, but this very spiritual vibe of the 20 just created a wonderful atmosphere. We have some wonderful people together. Here we are talking about being alive and all that means. And, I don't know if I, I say there's a vibration to numbers spiritually. I don't know. I guess this might take just a minute. Just what I know, what most people with the numerologists know, the zero energy represents the God energy. It is what most religious texts say, the earth was without form and void or chaotic. The universe was chaotic, no real purpose. The number one vibration is like a seed, and it's generally masculine in nature. It's like the seed planted in the universe, and it gave the universe purpose. The one is that Big Bang. The one is the initiator, the vibration of action, vibration of independence, determination, innovative, truly creative, and all number vibrations come for the one. The two energy, in a way, is a balancer, which represents the woman, female. It's the yin of the yang. The two brings peace, tranquility, harmony. It's very psychic, intuitive, and it does bring equilibrium to the man, and hence you have man and woman. The three energy, which is wonderful, is the very first energy created by two others. 1 + 2 gives us 3. Man plus woman gives us child. So in terms of the spirituality, the 3 vibration, it means so many things, but basically it's from the womb. It means creativity, love, joy, spiritual and material expansion, acting, singing, dancing, luck. It's a joyful vibration, and it is that creative energy. The 4 energy is the first energy where the man or the woman say, all right, we have my spouse, I have my child, we need to build a home. four walls. I need to create order, government. I need to build a house, that which is masonry, architecture. I need to till the ground, hard work. The four is conservative in nature. It's logic. Think of Spock. It's a wonderful vibration, and it's truly spiritual, and it also represents the body. The five energy is a perfect example of the 60s. The five is about freedom. It's the man and woman say, all right, I have my family and all this, but you know what? I want to have some fun. The five is about freedom, the energy of it. That's what I mean. The energy of it is like a bat out of hell. Creatively, it's fabulous, but it wants to reach the masses, and it wants to actually try things on the physical plane. Drink, smoke, and the 60s, experimentation, all occurred in the 60s with music and society. And basically, the United States of America vibrates to, USA vibrates to the five energy. And what does five stand for? Freedom. And what is our country based on? Liberty. And right. Freedom. The sixth energy, which we're in right now.
Wait, Dale, we're going to take a fast commercial, so I want to stop at five so we don't get lost. We're going to just take a 1 minute commercial. We'll be right back, everybody, to go to six.
And I'll make it short.
Yeah, one moment. And here's a commercial from psychicaccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
I'll try to cut this real short, Maureen. The six represents the family, home, responsibility towards family and community. The seven vibration is introspective. It is spiritual. It's suddenly inquiring minds want to know. Man and woman want to know how we got here. What is spiritual? What is life? And we look generally in two directions, either applied science, physics, answer questions, physics, or through astronomy, or through what we call the occult, which really just means hidden knowledge, or the church. Spiritual. Astrology, numerology. I'm sorry, numerology, astrology, runes, the dark arts, the bright arts. We want to inquire and find out how we got here, and that's the introspective energy of the seven, which also brings us to the woods and to the country and to the ocean. The eight energy is a very powerful energy, which really right away deals with wanting to create energy on this plane. The eight vibrates to Wall Street or executive energy or money. Also vibrates to China, which is a very powerful vibration. Eight is that of sports figures. It's aggressive, it's domineering, and its main goal is to create substantial material things on this planet right away. And the last vibration I'll speak of is the nine, which is the ending cycle in a way. It's completion, it's the epiphany, it's truly, it's the humanitarian. It's humanitarian love. The nine vibration is that of endings and changes and a perfect circle, 360 degrees. 3 + 6 is 9, and 9 and 0 is 9 again. So the 9 brings us towards an end. There are other vibrations, number vibrations.
The 11
but I mentioned
master
all
numbers,
that.
Right?
Just
the master numbers, Dale, like 11, for instance.
Yeah, 11, 22, 33, and 44.
So if you're an 11. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get you off on, but you know, we still have some time here. I mean, but okay. 11, for instance, you wouldn't single that down. If you were a master number 11, what would make that, so interesting opposed to a number, single digit number person that, you know, because you ended up with?
Well, you know, the 11 obviously is a double vibration. Those four numbers, 11, 22, 33, and 44. You know, there's a quasi, I call it a quasi master number, which is 10. And the best way to describe 10, because we could just add 1 and 0 together, but I don't add the 10 together. It's like being in elementary school, and you're graduating from the 8th grade into 9th grade, and you're going to high school, another level. So after that 9 energy, the 10 is evolution. It puts you on another plane, so to speak. And then we get to the master numbers. And 11 is very ethereal in nature. It's metaphysical in nature. I always say, I try to picture a vibration. The 11 would be unicorns, mysticism, metaphysical energy, cosmic consciousness. The 11 is inspirational. It's almost the spirit in the ethereal form. It's almost the body, the soul lifting out of the body and heading to higher realm. It's the yogi sitting on the mountaintop, and beyond that mountaintop, there are other mountaintops, another mountain. The 11 is ethereal in nature. The 22 master vibration is almost, it's double the 11. It almost is a step from the spiritual manifesting itself to the physical. So the 22 is a double of the 11. So not only the 22, you have the power of vision and being able to visualize, but it actually manifests things on the physical plane, whether it's money, the 22 vibe. Matter of fact, the presidential election for Obama and Romney was on a 22 day, a master, a great international vibration. And the energy in which they chose the Pope was also a 22 day. It's a master, incredibly powerful spiritual and physical vibration. 33, well, that's sacrifice. That's the Christ energy. Mother Teresa, Christ. 33 is high church, a high level of church and giving and of love. It's sacrificial love. It's unending love, and it's highly spiritual. And then we have the 44, which is a vibration that's very powerful and is interested in changing things on the planet in a physical form, and again, in a very high energy and a very spiritual manner. Now, we also have other number of vibrations, but so if someone's an 11 vibration, and it really depends on where they are, where that is, but if let's just say the full name expresses to an 11. That's not the soul, not the, not the outer personality. It's the full name. Right. That generally, you know, I could easily say right now if someone's 11, I might say, because I'm not looking at a thing, I might say they might make a great lawyer, definitely a writer. I know that their frequency here on this planet is someone who is generally high-tuned, highly charged. But it, you know, it really depends on the other aspects of the vibration. But 11 generally, people are highly intellectual. It doesn't mean that you could be a 5 and not intellectual and not highly either, but it raises your vibratory force where many 11 people are directors, inspirational teachers, psychics, intuitive energy. But, you know, it really depends where it falls in a chart. Like when I do a life reading, again, the first thing I go towards is the soul. Soul what about, vibration.
What about the death of people when they, for instance, the date of death? Like if you, I'm just curious, if someone was, I'm just going by their birth date. Let's say their birth date, it was 11. They died, and they died, it was a 10 on the date.
What are you asking me? I'm not sure.
What I'm asking you, do you ever, is there any correlation? Like I said, this is, you're an expert in this, and I love numerology. I'm knowledgeable, but not like you, as much as you, of course. But if, do you ever, or people ever go, or, you know, people of deceased, they come to you for help, because I know that you go beyond numerology, and they want to know, and you do ask the dates of their death ever?
Well,
you know,
I'm an expert in being a human being. I
yeah,
want to be
okay.
sure. I'm,
well,
I'm,
you are
I'm still
a very
learning.
Authentic one.
I'm still learning with numerology. Still learning.
Yes.
But
yeah,
I'm able to see. You know, it's interesting, Maureen. You know, because when I do readings, so to speak, and I would say 95% of the time, I see the soul. I literally see the soul before it's in the body, and that's where the past lives come. I see the entry. The vibration, the vibratory force of it into this incarnation, and many, 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 many times I'm able to see the ending date. And there are two aspects. There's a spiritual aspect which I can pick up intuitively, and then there's even the numerology aspect, which is technical. I don't have the skill technically to predict an actual date, but I can tell many times through numerology. And, you know, I guess we have to see if someone's going to live a shorter life, a longer life. And that's still relative. It could be wrong.
Now,
but
you know, Dale, I wasn't asking about prediction of death so much. I'm talking about, well, let's go back into this because you've gotten into the past life thing. I think it's fascinating. For instance, if I felt so connected to the 40s or, you know, the 40s, something about that, and this is the truth about this for me. But would you be able, if you were to look at the vibrations of numbers that you are involved in? Okay. So would that, so in the past life, would you be able to utilize numerology in that to help you assess past lives. Is that the best way
for you? Yes. You know, and okay. I enter into, I think I used this example once before. I had I have so many clients, but there was one in particular who I sat down, started doing a numbers, and I did a numerology reading. It's an audio. I sent it to her. She didn't even finish listening. She called me back right away because I saw her in a boat with a baby in her hand, and I saw her tip over in the water. Now, this was a past life. And I saw the year. I'm not going to mention too much. That's why I don't know if she drowned or not, but I saw this life thrashing. Now, that was because I was able to jump into the soul's vibe. And when you jump into a stream, you're going to get all kinds of things. You're going to see all kinds of things. And she called me back and says, oh, my God, Dale, I just want to tell you that since I was a kid, I've always had this deathly fear of water. And I couldn't go to the beach, and I used to go to therapists and blah, 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 blah. And when you mentioned what you mentioned over the phone, it just struck a chord in me. And she said she didn't remember the life itself, but she knew the fear came from something other than herself. And I'm not sure if I'm directly answering the question, but knowing, you know, the past can speak of the present. But, you know, Freud did say sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Yeah,
so sometimes our issues are not from past life. But I met with a woman, a client last week, and she just walked in, sat down, and immediately my right side started feeling things on my right side, and I started to lean over. And then I said to her, I said, you know, I'm not sure what's going on, but you had a past life where you were this old lady. I see it. And I actually see it as you'd see a film that you saw yesterday or so. And I saw her pushing the cart and blah, blah, blah. She was pushing the cart. So she said to me, oh, my God, I can't believe it. She had just come back from the doctor. For the last 15 years, she's had horrible issues with her right side and the back and blah, 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 blah. All these issues that I sort of picked up. Now, that's great. I picked it up. That's fascinating. That's wonderful. It makes for good talk. But what's important is, what does that life mean to her? I asked her to go to a doctor and tell him to look at certain areas. I'm not going to get too specific because I think that's where it's coming from. But this does come from a past life. And if you sort of can embrace the life itself, or at least the idea of what I'm saying, know that it's not necessarily something you've done right now, but it stems from something else. Maybe you can delve deeper into yourself to do some things spiritually to help
change.
Yes,
and learn what you're supposed to, the lessons.
Yeah, if you can.
It sounds like you're an empath, too. It sounds like you've been getting your empath side of you to feel things like that.
You know, I had a, Maureen, things have, a wonderful, this is the last story, make long story short, I had a reading for a person. A woman gave a party, numerology party, and I was there and just doing quick readings, and this woman walked into the room, and immediately I sensed, first thing out of my mouth, your son. What about your son? It's just your son. And make a long story short, she started tearing up. Her son had passed away in a car crash, and he was 13, and he had a message for me to tell her, and the message was that it's time to move on. And you need to let it go. And then I said, and he wants you to get the dog. And she has been fighting with her husband, who was actually there at the party, but he went just to drop her off, not to talk to me, because he didn't believe in any of this stuff. And she's been fighting with the husband for years because he wants to get a dog. Because the son wanted a dog before he passed away. And she just, of course, as a mother losing a child, she hasn't been able to move past it. But that message, the vibration, whether he was speaking to me directly or he was around her, I heard it through the vibes. And it helped her tremendously because she had no choice but to at least know that this was real, you know. But she believed. And through number vibrations, you know, the soul vibrates, everything vibrates. And even when you leave this body, you vibrate, whether you believe you go to heaven or hell, or you know, there is more, there is life after life in everything, from my belief, everything, whether it's astrology or runes or even science. High science is almost magical when you think about it with numbers, still has what I call, because I can't figure out a better word for it, vibrations, which is of the God power.
That's right. You know, in scientists use the vibrations of the numbers to, from my understanding, anyway, is that what you're talking about?
We're using numbers right now. There are two things.
Right.
The number system I work with is basically Pythagorean, there are a number of numerology methods. There's the Chaldean method. There's the abracadabra. I shouldn't call them methods. I should say other ways of looking at the world. And mine is Pythagoras, and he believed, who's the father of our number system in many ways, he believed that number vibrations were qualitative in value, meaning they have, they're more than just used for measuring, and they're everything right. that I've been speaking of. And right. why? Because they just represent parts of our, they represent living, I don't know, the forces of life. We have to label them, just like we create time. We create increments of time for ourselves here. Why we create 24 hours instead of 36 hours as a day? You know, I'm not a scientist, but it all fits in the right place. The moon is the perfect distance from the sun, and the sun is a perfect distance from the earth, and that's all about vibration. And right now we're talking through vibrations, sound waves.
And, that's absolutely true. In fact, that's fascinating to bring up. Even pregnancies, there's a certain amount of time before it's time to have a new human come into the world. It takes a certain amount of number of days or weeks. I mean, everything.
It's cycles. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, and I know so many more people who are schooled in the intellectual arts or can just go around me like a school kid. But that's why I say I'm an expert like you and everyone else here on the planet
in,
as being a human being. And we know what feels right to us and what doesn't. And that's what I mean by being an expert of myself.
But you are very passionate about this, and you're so real and authentic. I wanted to ask you, there was something you sent me, and I really wanted to address this because we only have about 4 minutes, and it had to do with the yearly vibe for the planet last year and this year, and what does it mean? I think that'd be a good thing to close towards.
Yeah, last year we were in a 5-year, and you have to say in 2012, because the 5 is about transformational change. I'd send out an audio newsletter stating what the year was going to be about, and we had transformational change, and I loved saying this. On the election day was transformational change. I don't care who you voted for, change occurred. What also happened, which is carried over into this energy right now, marijuana, transformational change society, gay marriage, transformational change. All this came last year. The weather, transformational change in this country, and particularly transformational change for those who believe that there is global warming because of what happened on Sandy, the storm. And then Sandy Hook, transformational change with guns. And that was a 5-year. Weather was crazy, very chaotic. This vibration of 2013 is a 6 energy, and it's a multifaceted, but it's very socially oriented towards family and war, actually, social events happening. That's how come this is, to many believe, this is the year of gay marriage or gay being gay in terms of gay rights, and the year of women, both which vibrate to the 6 energy, family, lifestyle, and then even war vibrates to the 6, where social unrest, look at Egypt and Syria, which actually started last year. And
in
many
North
people
Korea.
Will find that, and you're in a 6-year yourself. And this is a 6-month. It goes on and on and on. But this this year, I had seen that the housing market would do a lot better this year than next year. But I will say this: 2014, I say they discover life somewhere. They being
fantastic.
NASA or some space, something happens spiritually across the planet, 2000, because it's a 7 vibration. That's what I leave it with.
I think that's fantastic. You know, I had someone on a while ago, and he said it's getting close to the time. People already know it.
They
so
know
a
it.
Lot.
It's getting close.
But it's time for us to all know it. You know, yes. I really like that you brought that up. It was someone I, really great, respected man, talked about that. He goes, there's other people. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Who was the gentleman?
He's on our guest page. I was on the U.
I'll search him out.
Yes, he's very well. He's very respected. He works with Milton. And he brought it very eloquently. And listen to it. Yeah, go listen to that interview. You know, it's 30 minutes long, 15 minutes. Very well put. And I think he might have said about it was coming within the next year and a half, and it would be bad.
Yeah, I mean, let's just put it this way. The climate is ripe for it. But we're not done with this year. We have a lot of things going on. I would say look to your family. It's a very creative year artistically for artists. Real estate is really doing well. But war and social unrest, which started last year, actually it really started years ago, but we're going year by year, is still being affected in this country, and I mean this world. And this is how come you have Egypt and Syria and everywhere else on the planet, there's this social change going on. But, you know, it's interesting because just the word gay vibrates a six. The word woman vibrates a six. Family, society, literally the word. Literally the word vibrates a six. And society this year, every year it's been affected. You know, there's no offense buts about it. But this year it really is a lot going on towards for family and real estate and socially. Change is going on across the planet. And it's just very intense this year. Last year was very chaotic. The weather is not the same this year as it was last year. The change is, it seems like it's slowed down a little bit, where last year that five energy was so chaotic. But I will say this, the month of August wasn't five energy. And that is about change. And it was a chaotic month for a lot of my friends and clients. A lot of people had difficulty. Wonderful time to promote yourself. But it was a mini 2012. And and you yourself, you're in a 6 year. You just got out of a 5 year. And you'll find that family issues will arise this year for you more so. And you have to be careful about how much you give to others. You only can give so much. Your creative and artistic self will be open. You will increase. And you move home. Redecoration could occur. Redoing your home, doing yourself.
And I think that's absolutely in the cards. And moving on, change. Dale, you know, we're running out of time. I really appreciate you joining us. I want to tell everybody, though, that you are on our guest page forever, as you will have, as you have been. You'll have two now people to hear. But also your website. Could you tell everybody your website so they want to contact
you? It's numerologybydale.com. And then I have the daily five-minute message call. It's fun. Freevibeoftheday.com. I usually put that message up at 1 in the morning, but it's certainly there by 6. Five-minute message about the vibe of the day, colors to wear. We got quite a following. And I would love to say this. If anyone goes to numerologybydale.com and hits the contact me button, I'll send them a couple of podcasts. One is really wonderful, Power of Yes. And I'll even send you the vibe for 2013. That's usually reserved for my subscribers to the audio newsletter. But I'll send it out. And I'll send you the vibe of this month that just went out a couple of days ago. And that would be my gift.
That's
great. Because it's wonderful to be here on your show.
And you're very generous. You've always been very generous, and I adore you, and I appreciate you, and I'm really happy, and I would like to talk to you soon sometime as well about other things. So there you have everybody. Yay! Get Dale Spencer Weeks. Thank you so much for joining us, and you have a great night in New York City.
Thank you so much. Everybody, take care.
Thank you, Dale. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Dale, he's high energy, just like me. And no one thinks so, all my co-hosts. You don't think I'm that high energy, do you? Yeah. I can't hear you guys.
Maureen, you define high energy.
Yeah, Dale's great. He is, but he's very passionate, but he has grown a lot since 2 years, and I really like him. I do. His story seems very familiar to some of ours, I think, well, for me anyway, things, how they work out, synchronicities, how you get to one place, what my work, I wasn't like, you know, we all have our stories, but anyway, so there you have it. I'll ask you more about it, and I know Steve remembers him when he was on last time. He didn't signal you two out of it, but you two weren't here, and he thought you turned. Anyway, I'd like to take a moment. Hello, everybody in the chat room, by the way. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with one of our Carmen, Stephen, Maureen, and Steve, gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready, or pencil. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on Here It Comes, Stephen, Raising the Kundalini, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate that however you see fit, the archives link and future shows details to your friends, your pals, your pets, family, people that are coming to you for issues. Because there's, you know, really, everybody, I even go there when I'm having issues of my own. And it helps listening to some of these topics and the people that we interview. They're fantastic. It's our objective to connect with as many human beings, pets, as we possibly can. And So please share that link. So be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com. It's psychicbloggers.com. It's a fantastic site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And there's so much more, but I'm not going to name them all. I mean, really, if you're hurting, if you're happy or whatever, go there. There's so many great articles. They're all the authors are from psychicaccess.com. All the great readers there. Fantastic. If you're interested in reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics. And each of us with our own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile along with a video where you can actually look at them, observe them, watch their smile, but for you to find out more about them and then choose from a list of some of the most, again, authentic gifted psychics around. It's been an honor. I've been working with Doug for, well, I'm going to date myself now, for 20,000, for 10 years, long time. And I have a lot of regard for him because he, it's an honor working for him because he does have very high expectations of us and he's not going to ever go against it. That's just no boundaries there. It's just very clear. And so therefore the psychics are excellent at the site. Or else they're not going to come on, and Steve does a hire, and he's not going to let them on. So all of the co-hosts here are on psychicaccess.radio.com, work at psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Also, anybody new, you could also you get a six-minute free reading just from signing up, free, with any psychic you'd like. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic. That is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And all that also is on psychicaccess.com. You can find all these other things I'm talking about, links and stuff. If you like our show, again, please invite your friends. Our interactive chat room is the best of the best. On Thursday nights, the best on Thursday nights. Listen there or listen to the archives. There is something for everybody. But in the chat room, everybody's so warm and welcoming. I know everybody can hear me out there, and I always enjoy. We interact with all of you, and we really much appreciate it. So I'm going to give you the call-in number. Well, the call-in number for the readings at the end of the show, which I want to say the lines will not open till 6:15 or so Eastern Standard Time. For you to call in. If you try before that, nothing's going to happen for you. So please just wait. But the call-in number is 724-444-4851. Now, we all know that I'm usually posting it in there, but I know some of my co-hosts will do it in the chat room. 724-444-4851. Now we've come to that time of bantering with us here. It's fun time. Here comes the banter. Okay, who am I going to start? Steven, banter. Hi. Oh,
all right. I love to banter. It's my favorite thing to do.
Start bantering.
Well, you know what? We were just talking about music in the chat room, and the influence of number on music is absolutely profound. And extrapolating from that, the influence of music on the human psyche is also profound. And with music, what makes music work, what elicits the emotional effects are the intervals between the notes. Do you see? You get a very specific emotional effect when you use certain intervals. With the sixth, there's a certain beauty that obtains. With an interval of a second, then there's a certain dissonance that can also be quite beautiful. So that's
so
numerology.
True.
Absolutely.
So true.
Numerology. You know, yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, Stephen. I want to say something that we didn't bring that up in this interview, and it's absolutely true. Again, there you have the numbers. What you're talking, because I know you're a musician. You play guitar.
Yes, and piano, absolutely.
And piano. And yes, and sir. I came from a background of family people that, you know, were very musical oriented, and also you're very true. And also the singing, you know, the notes of the singing vibrational bowl, crystal bowls, and that's so true. I'm glad you brought that up because, there's numbers right there, everybody.
Absolutely.
It's just not G and F, there's the six, there's this, and you know, that's so true. And there's sound vibrations.
Furthermore,
that's a very good point.
The note A sharp, or I'm sorry, there is no A sharp, but you know, A flat or whatever,
right.
That has a very specific vibratory rate You see a very specific number of waves that emanate off of that string or reed or what have you that create that note.
And also, if you go on the internet, anybody listening out there, I mean, I know we have millions of people listening to us, so there you have it. But you can go for free. You know, you can do your chart. You can go do your chart and have fun and play around. It's really kind of cool. You can go to put in free numerology calculation, your name, because every letter is associated with a number, by the way. And it's very easy to you can find it. It's very easy to do.
This is very interesting. And Steve also knows this spread, but we have a spread that we can use that uses the querent, and the querent is the person who is seeking an answer.
Yeah, you say querent? I call it the torment.
Right, well, that's
no, usually I'm joking. I don't use that word anymore. I don't querent. I understand. I'm joking with you. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, you can take their name.
Yes.
And their birth date. And
numerologically... Yes.
Correlate those to the major arcana of the tarot, and it gives their... Now, and the process of doing this is quite complex. I'm simplifying it considerably here.
You can do the court cards, too, though. If there are certain... I don't do that anymore, but like certain... Like the wands, Queen of Wands is like a Leo.
Absolutely.
But what you're saying is you're doing a major... Yeah, you're right. See, it's interesting. It all kind of blends...
It certainly does. The numerology definitely.
I love numerology.
Underpins what I do with the tarot for sure. Helps it.
Yeah, and I also utilize that, and that's why I did. So I'm all self-taught, but I did study intensively 20-something years ago, and that's I stopped. You know, as far as I went, but I do utilize it just by natural nature. But it absolutely does. But I like how you brought up the musical, because we did not talk about that. And that's one thing we did, I think, in the last interview 2 years ago we did. But now, very good point.
We always hear the question, you know, people ask, well, you know, what came before God? Who created God? Well, the ancient Kabbalists, they answered that question.
Kabbalists? Did you say
Kabbalists, the practitioners of the Kabbalah.
No, they were the Catholics, the pagans, the Catholics. Well, we all rule the world, but they were all the witches and pagans. They turned Catholic. Okay, that's all Ben's story.
Right.
You know, I don't really believe. I just know what I know. But whoever did what first, as far as I'm concerned, as long as they did me a favor and me not having to, I'm fine with that.
Amen. I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
too.
You know, I think a lot of us right now are the pioneers of what's happening now, though. Or maybe, your generation too, Stephen. But I really appreciate you bringing that. I want to pick.
Oh, pleasure.
Wait, boy, girl. Carmen. Hi, Carmen.
Hello. I'm salivating over the subject matter, of course.
It's a lovely sound. I'm going to have to start talking better. Okay. Hello, Carmen.
Goodness.
I love your voice. Carmen, what do you think about this life that we have here?
Well, Maureen, I was looking at the number zero, and it was omitted in our discussion. Poor zero. Zero is a binary. Zero is that perfect antithesis to one. It's the perfect nothing. And then I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, what is zero anyway? Well, I think it's a good amalgamation. It's like the color white, I would say, probably.
What
you think? It would absorb the entire spectrum of all the lights. And then I was thinking about, goodness, you know, if numbers are real, so we only have 1 to 9, okay, and 0, and then the composite numbers, and so forth. And I'm looking through, of course, what I was reminded about was the golden ratio, because I also am a fan of Pythagoras, even though, you know, that Pythagoras only had fans. He himself only really actually, under duress, put together the school for the golden ratio, which is the perfect measurement of the triangle.
Yep.
And then he had a bunch of followers that imbued all the numbers with characteristics and into theology and so forth.
Then
I put it, I saw an image online of the Fibonacci sequence, you know, and the perfect golden ratio there right in the beginning of the conch, right? Then I thought about exponentials, and I thought, well, of course, perhaps we only have the limited capacity to understand 1 to 9, but what about our space cousins?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, space cousins. If you can hear us, if this doesn't reach you in 1.8 billion years, or would it be zero? Do you have more numbers than us?
Because I would imagine that they would, that we only have a very limited language.
Absolutely. And I agree with, like I said, I don't like to use the word, I try not to say the word, everybody's getting bored of me talking about belief. I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know, but I'm open to everything. But what he said, we talked about, there. I feel that there's definitely finally going to be, you know, you guys, I hate to tell you, but I'm not from this world. Okay, so here, I've said but I do feel that we're going to be getting a lot more insight too, and we don't need to fear, because I think, well, my view is this, that it's just going to add to all the loveliness that we all need to, that we are trying to embrace, and we're really doing our best to do so. And I agree with you. I feel there's much, look at some of the movie, even the movies, you know, movies, think about the movies may seem odd, but you know what? I was just thinking about that Titan, that book that was written in 1870, I think it was. Exactly. It was very, very, I mean, very few things were not almost exact to the Titanic. Did you know about this? And it was a fiction, book written by an author called, and it was called the, and it was unsinkable. It only, it was so close. I'm bringing this up just because it's so typical that everything was so perfect. So I guess, well, I lost my change of thought with this one. Oh, well, forget it. It had to do with numerology, but my bad stuff.
I'm somewhere in between they discovered the other year, which was for the longest time, we measured everything in light years. And then when it gets beyond light years, it goes into candles, which was such a romantic way of measuring space.
Yeah, I've heard
until a candle actually became less than a candle when they figured it out about time-space distortion, you know, due to dark matter.
Yes.
So then I thought, then I was like free associating, and perhaps Spencer can help me, and he probably also dreams about this, is about, you know, the endless, you know, the vacuous area of space, all of the time that goes beneath, goes along, and all the information that gets lost, reappropriated, and all the numbers that change. I mean, it's really our perception of distance, really, and time.
That's true.
That creates these numerological possibilities. So what is correct?
Yeah, well, you know what? This is the way I look at it. You know how is it East Coast? I know what they do in Canada, and I know Doug would, I think I've asked Doug about this. The East Coast, they always talk about it takes you either 40 minutes or 40 miles. In California, people, it's either one or the other, do something. I forget how it goes. Either we say, I don't even know what I say, oh, it's about 4 miles, or I say it's about 4 minutes away, or something like that. Would that be right? Right. I don't get it. But it's almost like that, in some ways, my perception of different ways of how someone else is. You know, Carmen, I'm talking in circles.
One of my favorite time zones is UTC, which is now -2.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. You know what? What did you just say? I'm writing this down because you bring
UTC, Universal Time.
Universal Time. That's what, you know what? Yeah. I've been seeing that lately. It's like, God, things have changed since 25 years ago. Things keep changing. No, it's not. I don't know, but Dale's a really great guy, like I said, anybody can get really. It's numerology is a great thing to, you know, self teach yourself if you whatever you want to learn, and don't put your whole soul, like, you know, don't go by it like it's. But it is fascinating, especially where I lived for, you know, 11/11. I didn't know that I lived there for until the 11-year mark. I go, wait a minute, I've been living in. I always saw 11/11 on the clock. 11. Why was that odd? I happened to live at 11/11. I mean, I was on the 11th year.
Timed then. Time-space continuum.
I was so unaware of that, and I kept seeing 11/11 for years, and I haven't been seeing it much. It's funny. I just moved from there, but it's interesting how little things, and there's synchronicities. We had that show on not too long ago, you know, but I don't know. Steve, thank you, Carmen. I love hearing your. I love the way your voice sounds. That's a nice vibration. That's
Thank
a nice
you.
Vibration. You're welcome. I'm not saying that just to be, you know, kiss. I just think it is. I didn't say the word. No, I like the sound. It's very calming. It calms me down. Steve, hi.
Steve. Hi, Maureen.
There you are, Steve.
I'm here.
What do you think? I know, Steve, you remember, of course, you know, us two have been here forever. Well, we're staples on this show. And I'm glad that, you know, he remembered. Both of us, but what did you think about his? He's high energy. I know. I do like him a lot.
I do. He's a great guy.
Sounds like he's really opening his wings, though. You know that feeling you get. He's in that mode. You know that stuff. You know.
Yeah, he's positive and excited about his work and life, and that's always good energy to be around.
Well, open up new things, like you know how it was when you were or when I was. A whole new things are coming around. Just not numerology. It's just everything. It's kind of nice listening to that. So I'm sorry, Steve. Do you have anything to banter about this numerology stuff?
Well, I find it interesting, and I know from my studies. I've said this many times before, but it's important. I know from my studies that everything is correlated. So the numbers that Dale was talking about, the descriptions he gave, they correlate with the tarot cards.
Absolutely, so do.
Yeah, the first 22 numbers correlate with the major arcana, and the energies associated with each of those 22 numbers correlates with the energy of the equivalent card. And it goes beyond that, because he was talking about language and the alphabet. Well, the letters of the alphabet do resonate to certain energies, the energies of the numbers, and yep. therefore the energies of the tarot cards, and mm-hmm. therefore the energies of the Hebrew alphabet and our alphabet, etc.
Astrology. So,
and astrology, absolutely. So every time we speak, we are projecting different energies that are encoded in the words we use. So I find it fascinating. And I have to say, you know, years ago, I used to think that numerology was intriguing, but I felt that changing one's name and things like that, I felt that was just nonsense. And it certainly isn't. I've learned that it really isn't. And I think that you have to look very carefully at the name you use. So, for example, my name, Stephen Frampton, it actually resonates to a planet in my chart, and therefore an energy within me that is not particularly useful.
Right. That's true, but interesting. But you're mindful of that. That's what I like. You know, Steve, you bring up a good point, and that's the reason why, because, you know, like I said, I walked into this work because I must do it. And numerology was the first thing I integrated into my tarot and so I self-taught through reading and everything. I didn't have a computer. That was blowing my mind. No, it was first astrology. I'm sorry. Then I brought in numerology. That's why I was filling my head with so much stuff. I was younger back then. And it was that great time, that feeling, you know. But it all blew my mind because it all made perfectly sense to me. It made sense. And I couldn't explain it to anybody really that wanted to hear it. But it was fascinating.
Well, one of the things I found fascinating, Maureen, is the realization that because my name numerologically resonates to a weak planet, and actually a discordant planet in my natal chart, and therefore a discordant energy within me, every time it's used, it's reinforcing that energy.
Right.
So it's not necessarily constructive. And that's a good reason for altering one's name, to change the vibration.
Did you do that?
I haven't. I'm looking at it, and I'm not going to go for something silly. Like,
no, but
you know,
I agree with that. You know what? More so than anything, because you make a good point, because in astrology, we like to do things like if there's something negative, we want to try to embrace and pull us away from that, right?
Yes.
You know, same thing.
You know, I'm interested in crystals, and people often just purchase crystals because they're drawn to them. But if the crystal, if you work with a crystal that's resonating to a challenging energy within you, then it's going to reinforce the challenge. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand your personal profile, in effect, of different energies, and then tailor the usage of a name or of crystals, etc., so that you're reinforcing harmonious energies within yourself.
Exactly, and being so mindful again and being very honest. That's you. In fact, honestly speaking, you have a call, but I want to say you resonated. You brought that on and from Wisconsin. But before, I really just want to go quickly because we have come to that part of the show that we're going to be doing free on-air readings from us lovely people. But we'd like you to be aware that each call's call will be automatically placed on hold, and it will be answered in order to receive. Just relax. Listen to the show. You'll be hearing it. But please be very clear and direct with your question. Only one question per person, please, as this will allow us to get through all the calls, and we can help you with what you may have some concerns about. Okay, thank you. Steve, Wisconsin, for you.
Hello?
Hi, I'm sorry. I had a problem with my headset. This is Steve.
Oh, okay.
I do apologize. Sorry about that. My headset went strange. I couldn't hear for a moment. What's your name?
Dorina.
Hello, Dorina. How can I help?
Yes, tell me about if you see anything in my near future for my love life. If you see anybody new, or if the person I was seeing, if I should stick with them.
Let me see. I feel that, I do feel that for a number of months, it feels like 8 or 9 months, you've been feeling unsure about the relationship you're in and almost, well, questioning the path that you're on. I don't feel that right now you need to do anything. I don't feel that you need to make any changes right now. I feel that you need to really look at the relationship you're in and look at what is working and what is not working and make sure that you do what you can do to make that dynamic constructive. But I do feel that it needs a boost. It needs some focus. And I feel that if you take that approach, you will know in about 3 months whether that relationship is going to work and whether you want to continue investing in that relationship or not. But I know from what my guides show me that by March of next year, and it's not the beginning of March, it's more the middle to the end of March, you will be feeling good about your relationship, whether it's this relationship that you've really strengthened or it's another relationship. But I don't feel that you have to do anything. I feel that this relationship will end, but I don't feel that you should end it right now. I feel that you need to work through the motions and the process of understanding what is and is not working, and then taking that forward. So I don't want to preempt your decision, but equally I want to show you what I see. But I do feel that by March of next year, pretty quickly, you'll be feeling good and you'll know that you're on the right path. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does a little bit. Yes, it does. It does make a little bit of sense. It's just that, like, the question that, I was wondering, there's a guy that I was seeing, but then there was another guy that I had met, and I was just wondering, about continuing the relationship then and or trying to find some, if I should try to find somebody new or just try to make it work with the relationship that I'm in.
Well, you're obviously not happy with the relationship you're in, because if you were, you wouldn't be thinking about finding somebody else. And the cards show that this relationship is in trouble. But what seems really important is not that you try to manifest the perfect partner right now. What seems really important in the cards and what I sense from my guides is that you really take some time to understand what is and what is not working within your partner and in you. Because if you don't do that, you're just going to walk straight into the same situation in March. Whereas if you go through the right process, you really reflect, you increase your awareness of your own self-mastery and what it is you want in a partner, then in March you can be in a relationship that you find much more beneficial. So I don't feel that you need to end this relationship. I feel that you need to understand what's not working within you and in your relationship and in your partner, so that when you move forward, you move forward positively rather than just walking into the same scenario.
Okay.
That's what I feel strongly.
Okay. Because the person that I'm with right now, I'm kind of, like, I don't, he's cheated on me twice, and we worked through that, and I was just, you know, I was wondering, like, if he's really that into me or not, or if it's just basically something for him, from him to be with me for now just to get by, and it's, like, not really a relationship.
Let me help you with this. Firstly, the relationship is in trouble. You know that. You've just said that. And the cards confirm that. My guides confirm that. Rather than focusing upon what he does and doesn't want, and what he is or is not thinking, or what is or is not going on within him, focus on yourself. Focus on what is working and what is not working in this relationship. And allow that to give you much greater clarity about your expectations for a future relationship and of a partner. And when you get much greater clarity about what you expect, you will just have your answer about your current partner.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You haven't done anything wrong, other than you haven't got a clear picture of what you want in a relationship and what you want in a partner and how you want to feel, and also what you expect of yourself. So you've got quite a bit of self-reflection work to do. And you see, my concern, as I said, is if you just move forward, you're not necessarily going to create the relationship you really want. You're going to recreate what's familiar. So you need to get clarity, and you're not going to get that clarity by reflecting upon him. Think of yourself.
Okay.
And a good way to do it is to consider how you would advise a friend. So if I was you and you were advising me, you've got to consider what advice you would give to me, and give that advice to yourself and hold yourself accountable. Okay.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense to me. Thank you so much.
Good. Great. Take care.
Thank you, Steve. Fantastic. Very good. Thank you, Steve. And Carmen, you have a call from Georgia. Thank you.
Oh, hi. Hi. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Hello? I think we're having an audio problem. Can you hear me?
They're there, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to do a little preliminary shuffle here. I've got my cards together already. But I'm not going to assume the person's name is George.
Georgia. It's from a call from Georgia. Yes. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. What's your name?
Oh, this is so bizarre. I didn't think it was my turn. Okay. Name is Kathy. I know. Never mind. Kathy.
Nice to meet you, Kathy.
And what's your name?
What's your question? Hey. What's going on?
Hello?
Hi. Ask your question.
Oh, okay. I was trying to find out. I took the CP exam on Saturday, the business section. And at first, there's four sections. The first section, I was just so excited because I'm passing my test. The second, third section was rough, and the fourth, I kind of ran out of time, which is the communications, but I wrote something down. can you see what happened?
Sure. I'm sorry. You're using an abbreviation for your study. What subject is this?
The CPA is the Certified Public Accountant exam.
Okay. I just heard CP. Okay. It says here, fairly straightforward on legal matters and on communications, understanding communications, and working through communication failures and difficulties. Then it says, you made an error on, let's see here. Okay. They may have thrown you a very interesting question. And what they were trying to do was confuse some of the audience or some of the people that were writing these tests. And it's actually almost interestingly enough, I don't know if this was how they set the question. Can you tell me, Kathy, how they set the questions up in the last section? Because interestingly enough, it almost looks like you were given a choice and that anything was based on a time differential. So some of this may have been reflexive. So you would have made, you would have just, almost by just responding too quickly, under pressure in the fourth quarter, you know, the forced part of your test that I see here, it actually wasn't too much. Like, have you, when did you write this test? You just did it this week. You just have a sense that you didn't do well in this last part. I feel like it was slight errors due to almost the way they set the questioning up to trick you, and then they will grade you based on the way you answered, which traps you fell into. So in other words, it's almost like that fourth part, you were all set to fail, and you passed that part well. In other words, there's a good way to fail. And I find that interesting to see that in the setup of the test. Kathy, what do you think it was? What were the last questions? Or should I ask you that? Because it might be on the general curriculum. But was it arithmetic or was
it theory? Honestly, I don't even remember. The last section was three questions that you had to write upon, and I don't even remember what the topics were. But I had problems also in the second and third sections, which are multiple choice questions. Do you see me coming through that?
So that looked okay. That was probably the trick questions that I saw here for timing. That was more actually the issue that I saw a problem with. With the end of your... Okay, that was exactly what I was trying to get at. It was the multiple choice question. You probably would have scored, say, a B on that. Like, in other words, you know, so the upper percentiles, but not a complete. You're missing about 20%. I'd say, of the correct answers. That was, again, due to timing. And then your last part, that was possibly also they were asking you to select a topic, but that the actual, it was, I'm not sure if this was, you know, the it was talking about a broad outlook and possibly a plan. Thinking, I don't know if this was a business plan or if this was just general accounting theory, but it was also a trick question. What that interestingly said is that it's graded across the college. So in other words, in the university. So in fact, there's almost like a sense that it can fail for most people in this last standard section. And again, they're looking for the types of failures. So exactly the nature of that, in which case you actually scored in the upper percentile. See, I'm not actually from North America where I don't know grade point averages. Can you believe it? Where I come from, we use percentages. And I would say you're around the 75 to 85% still within your subject matter.
So do you see that I pass? Do you see when I'll get results? And do you get a score?
You're definitely passing here within the high averages. Are you looking at graduating onto something else after that? In terms of
I'm not in college. I'm taking a certification exam.
So are you going to use this to do another business program, or is this for your own business? Because as it's saying here is that you do well within this, and then it says here, of course, you're left with this anxiety as to where to take it next, and it's just about, that's all I see. It's like, so what do you do with this? And then it does indicate in your reading, just FYI, some travel is coming up, or it's concluding, and there's something about this cycle finishing. So when you get this answer... let me see here. One moment. I'm going to get a number for you. We love numbers. And so we're looking at within about 2 weeks. I got between 8 8 and 14 days. So that's pretty swift. I would want that it's a minimum of 2 days. I mean, I would say that would be nice, but I really doubt they're going to have it ready for you by Monday. You know, like that's when they would finish the grading, because I thought that's when they would start grading. So they start grading within 2 days. Then we're looking at an 8-day probably completion. Then they double reference the grading, and around 14, you'll probably get your results. And I think you're going to do well. I think you're being hard on yourself. I think they set that up for you so that you would look, that you'd have to give them interesting answers. It's a kind of stress test they put you under, you see?
Okay. And the overall score, did you see that or not?
I felt it was 85. Good. Go figure, that would be quite high. Let me try that again. Let me see here with just a new set of cards. First section, you probably did 100%. One moment. Okay. Three. Third section was completed fine in terms of the grades point average. That was actually probably averaged out to 3 mistakes out of the entire section. That would have been the multiple choice, so that really is not bad. So it's odd it's coming in as deductive as opposed to saying that you failed. That would probably be a 97 percentile. And then the last section, there is some problem, but again, it was completed. That was completed sufficiently. That would be the only place where you actually lost some points was in the last section. And there you made an error margin of up to 30%. So that would be, I think, on a score. See, you see how I'm always seeing the mistakes first. I see that you probably got a B or 70 percentile out of that last section. So in all, you got an A, 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 and a B out of your 4 sections. So that would average out to a 90.4. Yeah, so you would only have had a 30 percentile, 33 total mistakes maybe on your entire test, if all this information I'm getting is correct. But since we're working with numbers tonight, I'm definitely going to indulge you. And, you know, if you ever call me, it would be interesting to hear some feedback for you on this, because I'm primarily a telepath and a remote viewer, and I tend to not work as much with numbers, but I'm absolutely happy to, because it's a field that I find fascinating.
That's so, fine. Okay, at least some of it made sense, because you definitely hit on the first section, because I did very well on the first section. And usually what happens with the test after you do the first section, it depending on what you do on the first section, it gets harder, less harder, stays the same, and it became more difficult. So hopefully
was it a computer-based test?
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, it's really not bad. It really is just reflecting what you're saying. So if you expect 87, you're probably, you know, or 94. I would say you're going to score between 92 and 94 percentile, which is GPA, God knows, I don't know. But I don't think it's that bad.
That's fine. I don't really, as long as I get 75 or more, I don't care, because no one asked you what your score was, as long as you passed. Yeah. So as long as it's 75, I'm okay. I just need 75.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Great meeting you. And, best of luck to you going into your new career with that. That's a great option. So,
and what was again before I let you go? What was your name?
Oh, my name is Carmen. Think of the opera Carmen, and Miro, M-I-R-O. But I'm the only Carmen on there. And, you'll find me. I'm usually online.
Thank you.
But it'd be nice to hear from you anyway, to hear if it went well. You don't have to add much. And for sure. Come on through.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Wonderful, Carmen. That was great. You really helped. She really felt helped.
Oh, it's fun working with numbers and experiments.
Yeah. Well, it's even better when someone is really getting something from it, and that's really lovely.
Isn't that the?
Yeah, it is. But it is nice when, you know, sometimes it's, you know, like I said, sometimes I think people should be paying me when I'm reading for, because I get back so much.
I get back
a lot of, from people too. It just seems like some of the readers, some people I've read for, I do get back a lot of other things about. I'm not saying just particularly in that situation, but, you know, I almost feel like, oh, wow, I just really been enlightened myself. Maybe I should stop therapy. Although I do have a great therapist, everybody, if they're interested, know. I don't see psychics, but I see therapists. Okay. So you know what? Steve. Hi, Steve. Meow. Steve, meow.
Hello.
See, I knew you'd come out and meow.
Got two
there
kittens
are,
with me.
Two kittens. And what's the kittens' names?
I've called them Alpha and Beta.
It's, at least it's not Heckle and Jekyll. That's great. And and that's good. Oh, Steve, I wanted to ask you something before. Anybody that I'd like to say, the lines are open. If you'd like to call for reading, it's 724-444-4851. Steve, so tell me about your cats. How many do you have altogether?
Well, I have four, and one has gone missing, so I was visiting the cat shelter every day to see if he'd been taken there, and there were two, I've got two little male tabbies that were possibly going to be put to sleep, so I brought them home. Oh,
okay, so this is synchronicity, maybe this might be, maybe Leo,
yes.
Maybe he decided to think, well, you know, there's two other cats that kind of can sync up intuitively,
yes.
And led you over there, and he went on somewhere else, and they didn't have a little kitten. So there he is, making somebody happy. I'd like to look at it that way.
I just hope he comes back.
Well, maybe he'll come back for a visit, but I'm not saying he's not going to come back. But maybe he's going to let you get involved and bond with these two and then come back.
Yes.
You all, one happy family.
Well, I'm not going to keep these two. I'm going to find them a great home.
So you say? I mean,
yeah. Well, I've got, it's too many, and I would have.
You got a
bit. Five.
Don't you have a huge? Wait, don't you have like 100,000 foot out, 100 square
well,
foot?
Well, not quite that big.
I know, but I know you have a big house. But you're one of those. You start. You see, this is the signs of it all. The cat people that they come in later on, like years go by. There's thousands of cats. No, I think it's lovely that you have the meowers. Meow. And I, but I think that's nice that you saved two others. And you wouldn't have been there if you weren't looking for Leo. So maybe Leo is saving his pals. And by through you. Well, you know what? I like to see there's a little synchronicity master plan going on. I'm not saying I believe it, but you know, strange things have happened.
Well,
all I know
is
that.
This is a fact and figure. How many cats there are worldwide?
I don't know that answer.
30 million.
Are there really?
Mm.
Well, that must change every minute or second.
No, that must be more than that.
That was official a few years ago.
You know,
just think.
Just think about it. They used to save cats. I remember, because remember when we used to, Steve, we used to do the goddess. We are, you know, the show used to be real different. Some of the people in there, like Julie, remembers, boring. I used to do the goddess segment and pick a goddess. Baskies, who's the cat? You know, the goddess. Okay, I remember finding out that in that period of time, cats were so worshipped that they would save cats in a fire rather than human beings.
Yes.
I love it.
What you guys don't realize, though, is that those 30 million cats worldwide, they're actually the security arm of the Illuminati.
I know.
I'm just joking.
And they all have human owners and handlers. They're so well off. I think your cat is taking you for granted, Steve.
Hey, cats are tripping me out. You know what? They're not. Those are the only domesticated animals that are not listed in the, or not mentioned, from what I can remember, being raised Catholic. But I did read it when I got older. They're not mentioned. Dogs are mentioned, but so I always, haven't you ever wondered why cats will always look up at you like they're, no, look down at you like you're not as good as them, because they're usually up higher, like you know, on a, you know, where you're kind of sitting on the couch or up on higher than you. So they look down because we're so stupid. But dogs are always looking up at you.
Can I tell you, I'm just so glad that we don't have pet spiders. Can you imagine how that would
Oh, no. That's just not right.
I mean, you know, eight of those eyes?
I have a nightmare still about hairy legs. Someone told me I have a fear of men or something. That's what they said.
Have you ever noticed in a movie, though, that if any character in a movie who strikes at a dog, I mean, it's so common to typify a villain that it's actually called, you know, kicking the dog. It's a trope.
Yeah.
Know? But if someone does some harm to a cat, you know, there's almost like there's no bad effect on the audience.
The cat are extraterrestrials. The extraterrestrials have cats. This is
cat is usually a joke.
The cats are really trippy, and they're a little bit, and they know they're intelligent more than us dumb humans. I think the extraterrestrials, this is what I'm just from where I'm standing, and it's not like I'm a big cat person, although I'm a Leo, I feel the cats integrated from another area, not in this area on Earth. I think they were brought in because, like I said, why aren't they not domesticated, the only domesticated animal not listed? Did you hear about Noah putting cats on that ark? No. Lions, yeah. But no cats. No pet cats.
Well, back then, I think maybe, you know, those days, we were too, you know, it wasn't that long ago when cats would have been eating us.
Well, you know, I do find it kind of sad that I imagine that, like, animals don't even have a basic sense of numbers or, you know, but they do have geometry.
Well, cats on tripping something. They're tripping on something because they have...
Well, see, nowadays we talk about grandma eating cat food, but there was a time grandma was cat food.
No, but cats are trippy. They stare. They glare. They are tripping, and their minds are fast, and if they talk, they'd be talking as fast as me, too, if they could. So some of them meow a lot, too. But they're...
Why aren't our callers meowing?
My mother meows. Listen, she does. She doesn't like cats. I mean, I've never had cats. We grew up with dogs. But this woman, I've said this before, and she is an 83-year-old woman on Facebook, still text messages on her iPhone, long, all over the place. She meows, and I've gotten used to it through the course of knowing her. And it's almost like something that calms her nerves, but she sounds like a real cat. It's not like just meow. It's like, row, row. It's like, okay. Maybe there's something weird about that, but... I'm not going off topic. We're talking about cats.
Well,
she's a cat.
I do know this. It seems like every time a cat shows up in the imagery of the tarot, it represents conquering the spirit, the animal nature inside of oneself, which is an admirable thing to do.
I mean, devouring. No, you know what? It's the birds. Feed the birds, you know, Mary Poppins. That's trippy. No, but the birds are the psychic messengers of spiritual world. But no, I just think, I know I'm talking about the cats and the day, I'm talking before, you know, but I do feel, why aren't they mentioned, honestly, in the Bible? I'm not getting religious on anybody here at all. Don't get me wrong. But domesticated animals we're talking about here. Dogs.
No, there's a passage in Isaiah that goes into great detail about King Nebuchadnezzar's pet tabby.
Well, yeah. Was it a cat? Did it say
cat?
Yeah,
it was a tabby cat. Yeah, it was a tabby cat. He even had an...
Okay, wait, I'm going to look it up.
His name was Mr. Squiggles. King Nebuchadnezzar... Wait. I'm serious, Maureen.
I think he made that from the innards of...
No!
A mummified...
I'm serious. Moses also had a cat that he took with him. No, I'm joking. I'm totally making that up.
I know you are, but I'm not kidding. Why is it not in the... I know we will go back way before that book ever came to be or whatever, but isn't it odd? Because isn't it maybe some theory that the cats came from elsewhere that were presented to us by more intelligent people? Because those cats obviously feel that they're more intelligent, not actually... They're trippy.
actually, Maureen, they were mentioned in the Bible as lions.
They are. As lions. You're right about that, but not... I'm talking about but dogs were mentioned as some big horse... you know what I mean. I'm talking about cats being cat... cats.
Cats are in the Bible, believe it or not. Domesticated cats are in the Bible.
Well, I've read... Just fine. Tell me where it is, and I'll be happy to...
Well, in the Douay... Bible, the Catholic Bible. It's in the Bible.
Do we ever go and check our Bible passages now?
Yeah,
really?
No. I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school, but I never understood. I read it when I was in my 20s, and it was a hard read.
Oh, well,
honestly, it took me a year, but the thing is, I finally, you know, decided after all the years of Catholic school, I didn't know what the heck, you know, that was a bunch of ridiculousness, but there is no mention of cats. There's dogs. And yes, lions are from the, okay, but dog, you know, come on, you guys, domesticated pets. No cat pet in the Bible. And they didn't eat them all. So because they're from another planet. Woo, woo, woo. But they do look down at us. Most of the time they're lurched up higher. Dogs aren't. They look up at us because we're like all better. But cats look down at us laughing.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're in your lap. Okay, granted. They may be in your lap. But, you know, a lot of times they're up a little bit higher staring.
But I think that if the origins of the Bible were in northern Africa, more than likely they would have just had larger cats.
No, you're absolutely right about that, but that's not... I'm talking about the traditional...
Do you think
the traditional Bible thing, you know?
A cat. There may be an antipathy against cats because the Jews, they were held in captivity in Egypt, and, you know, in Egypt they loved cats, obviously. Cats were...
Yeah. That's right. Like I said, they would get them out. You know, they didn't want them to burn up. But that was we're talking about when the Catholics were pagans at that point. That was way back when. But then there was no talk of cats in the Bible. You're right.
There are a few very obscure references to domesticated cats in the Bible.
No, not that I have found, and I did read. Honestly, I'm bringing this up for. I'm not saying I believe all this stuff, but it is kind of odd. And if I'm wrong, people, please let me know, because, like I said, it took me a long time to read that book that I was in Catholic school for years and years and years. Supposed, you know, you don't want to care about that. I'm talking about in the traditional, the biggest one, the most traditional religions, you know, Judaism and Catholicism. But we all know that what the Catholics were before, the pagans, the witches, they were all that. But before, you know, the Catholic, whatever. But there is no talk in the Bible that mentions a cat. From what I could be wrong, but my mind still kind of, you know, got it together. But I always would think about that. You just said a little something I thought was kind of strange. So, Steve, if you can read the Bible if you can. And, you know, I'd like it done by next week. each page of that Bible, you get to Ellen Wood reading dynamics. And you read fast. You rue the day you tell me there's a cat in that Bible. You rue the day. So, I mean, I'd love to hear that. Anyway, maybe we have a call. I don't know. Something's going on there. Do we have a call, you guys? Let's see, psychically. Oh, no. Someone's saying something about... Okay, I...
dog okay. Ear.
Well, you know what?
My cat actually left a copy of the Bible on my bedside
morning. You're so full of yourself. You know what?
No, I'm serious. I opened it up and it said, in the beginning, cats created the heaven and the earth. I'm like, what the heck?
Okay, well, there you have it. Again, that's their way of saying they're not from this planet. The extraterrestrials brought them down to us. Cats are trippy. They are trippy, and you know the trippy. I'm not going to go because this is rated G, but we all know what we're talking about here. They're having a fun time hallucinating. They're doing their little things.
Look, Maureen, you're just all wrong. The Catholic, and you as a Catholic should know this. When you die, you can go to purgatory.
Not if you're baptized.
The Jews have the festival of Purim.
It wasn't until I read, you know, in purgatory. It was funny because when I was in my 30s, someone said they're going skiing in purgatory. And this is how hilarious I am. I don't get simple things. I get really, you know, complicated things pretty good. I freaked out. Is there really a purgatory? I thought I was 30 years old.
Totally
thinking it was part of. Okay, I thought it was part of, purgatory is a ski resort, okay? I'm not going to purgatory. And I was way far away from, I'm not a practicing Catholic, but I do like the fact that I looked at the goodness of it, because look at, who doesn't like all that incense burning? Who doesn't like all those woo-woo stuff that rituals that the Catholics brought into light? I took that and I embraced it.
The very name of your religion is all about cats. I mean, you're a cat.
I'm not a cat.
You're cat-holy.
I don't own cats, and I'm not a cat. I wasn't raised
a
cat. But my mother meows, and maybe she's from somewhere else, too. I don't know. for all my dad used to get, for they were married 63 years, you know, and then he died, or they'd stay married. But the bottom line is, that woman constantly, and when she stops is when we'll have problems. Because when I was younger, it's like just something I know it sounds funny, she's not. She's a normal. In fact, she gets embarrassed of me. Let's put it that way. When we go out, you know, she thinks I'm crazy or is too eccentric. So here's this woman that meows like she'll just. It just comes naturally, and I've been hearing this all my life since I was a child. You know, my friends would come over and go, and I didn't think about it. Well, that's my mom. She's meow. She's She's like a cat. She's not meowing. It's not like she's aware of it. It just, you know, when you're not conscious what you're doing, it's like if you're sitting there shaking a leg, you know, when your legs shake a lot, it's a. So maybe there's something about what I'm saying. Just something to ponder, everybody. I'm not saying that I'm crazy. I'm weird. But who knows? I don't know. Maybe I know it all.
You've got a good point, though.
Yeah. Just find me.
Lions way more.
If you can find it in the Bible. I'm just talking about that book. No Buddha. Just that book. Anyway, so I guess, you know what? We've come to that time where we've had enough of me.
Also, another thing you have to think about when it comes to the Bible or any interpretations of any of those old passages is language.
True. You're right.
You know, I mean, it could have been a cat kitten, and then it turned into a lion.
No,
but it was actually a sphinx.
I get that part of it, but I'm just talking about the traditional, because let me read this thing anyway. I'm just saying, I never read anything. I read about dogs, never any wording of cat. I'm not talking about lions or anything like that. It was just odd. I thought it was interesting. But
again,
we're working
with English. It's very limited working with English.
Well, you know what? I'm not really from this land, and Atlanta is where Atlantis. That's why I don't make sense. But Carmen, it's your turn now to let's hear your language for next week. I would love to hear about what's going on with your show next week. We're interested in your show. Can you tell us about what you have planned?
Absolutely. Next week, we have Jeff Dalek, and he's actually a writer. He has published with Llewellyn. He has written over 10 books. He's also, he's a curious figure. He has been driven by his faith and has done kind of a conversion through science, his interpretations of his research come up in his writings. And he's done a lot of research into any of the mythical lore, urban lore, and then an amalgamation of that into back through biblical history. But without making it sound onerous, actually, in fact, he's a very fun person, a very fun personality. He's written a lot. He's done a lot of research. And now he's going into fiction. But basically, when you go check out his site, it's very, very thorough analysis. And what he is going to focus on next week is his conversion from evangelism into reincarnation. Now, that's a stretch. And actually, he did the research, and he feels it was entirely possible. So I'm curious to see. And I am working actually on my end here on biblical reincarnation passages.
I think that's
fantastic.
And any
of the references in the back and through history, through this. He's a very good man. He's a bit of a skeptic, which I find interesting. And he came full circle into a side that I haven't done a lot of research in. So I'll let you know how that goes next week.
And I will be here. I can't wait.
There you will.
And we will all be here. And thank you, Carmen, very much. And I know that we're welcoming. It sounds like a great guest. Your first guest you're going to be having, and I'm really looking forward to that. We've never had that type of topic. That's fantastic. Well, I'm going to say my good night, so everybody else can go for it with theirs. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a great week.
See you.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.